could pass a couple prayer requests on to you.
Again, keep Mr. Colopy in your prayers. They started him on the blood thinners last night. Is that correct? But it was the lowest dosage you could possibly... Like, even if you didn't have clots, you were just being in the... My understanding, if you're just in a hospital bed that long, they'll give them to you. So, but Monday, they should have a full detailed plan of where they're going with that. But just keep them in your prayers. He's on the sixth floor in Strong. On the fifth floor... Wait, is it sixth floor? Yeah. On the fifth floor is Matthew. And Matthew, you remember some time ago, he had an infection. Well, that infection never really went away. He's been on antibiotics for 4 weeks, and the infection's worse. It's gotten into the muscles in his back, and he's having a lot of pain in his legs and has some other issues that are not healing. And so if you could just pray for him. And where's Mr. Seaman? Is he in here? No, he's teaching Sunday school. Anybody else have another update about that? All right, so... I went up and saw him last night, but he's a little disheartened, you can imagine, just by not getting better. And it's been a long time, so if you could pray for Matthew with that. Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Joshua chapter 3. I would like to look at this verse in a moment. If you have your bulletin, I put a definition on the front page of the bulletin to help you. Sometimes I hear things, and unless I see them, it's not as helpful. So try to put a definition on the front of your bulletin to be able to help you. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves." Now, unless we're normally talking biblical things or spiritual things, the word sanctify does not come up in our typical vocabulary. So I felt like having the definition of sanctify would be important so we're all on the same page. Not the same page as me, but the same page as the scriptures. So what does it mean to sanctify yourself? It says, in general sense, to cleanse, purify, or make holy. Let's read that again as you look on the front page of your bulletin. Maybe if not, you can just listen. Sanctify means, in a general sense, to cleanse, purify, or make holy. Definition number two, to separate, set apart, or appoint to a holy, sacred, or religious use. So as we read Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves." So what did that mean? Cleanse yourself, purify yourself, make yourself holy. Separate yourself for a holy use. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the service this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you needy. Lord, just thinking of Matthew and Mr. Colopy, Mrs. Moore, Mrs. Kent, others here this morning that have ailments and difficulties and both physical and spiritual, Lord, I pray that you'd meet those needs. Lord, I pray that you'd be here with us and that, God, you would be honored and glorified and pleased and that we would say nothing amiss this morning. God, we would just proclaim your truth as loud as we can. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We all have, well, maybe not all of us, but a lot of you have jobs. Tomorrow morning you'll wake up at what you would consider unreasonable hour, and maybe you put on a uniform or you have a morning routine. Maybe it starts with a shower or a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and maybe you spend some time in the Word, get ready, let the dog out, whatever it is, and then you march yourself off to work where you'll spend the next 8 to 10 hours. If you're Matt, he's been working 12-hour shifts. And there you go, off to work. And as you walk into work, you know your job. You have a job. And that job has requirements, responsibilities. Now, it's frustrating if you don't know what your job is. Isn't that frustrating if you would go to work and not know what you're supposed to do that day? Feel like you're wasting your time. But you have a responsibility. You know what's been asked of you, and it is your responsibility to do those things. So as we study this, and as we look at this verse a little more in depth, my question begins, or the message begins with the question, whose responsibility is it for me to be holy and clean? Is it God's? Is it somebody else's? Is my cleansing, is my sanctification, Brother Burkhart's responsibility? No. What does it say? Sanctify yourself. God, through Joshua, is telling the nation of Israel, hey, I want you to clean yourself up. I want you to purify yourself. I want you to make you holy. By the very definition of the word sanctify. Because I have a purpose. I want to use you in a certain way. I want you to be an example of what it means to be holy and righteous and clean. See, if we're, as Christians, never any different than the very thing that God has called us out of, how could we be of any use? How could we be an example of holiness and godliness and the transformed life in Christ if we look exactly how we did when we were lost? How is it that there would be... How is it that we ourselves, as individuals, not collectively, but as individuals, would be so okay with an unsanctified life? It should go against our very grain. It should go against us because God calls us to be clean. Would it not bother us? Should it not bother us knowing that God has set us in this world to be a light unto the lost world, that we would look exactly like the very thing that He's taken us out of? Shouldn't our life mimic something else? Sanctify yourself. Clean yourself up. I don't know what your driveway looks like. We have a stone driveway. And we love it, but we have a lot of people at our house on a regular basis. We do. Friday night, I think we had 15 people over to the house. New Year's Day, we had 25 people at the house. Say, you have a big house? No, that's the exciting part. My mother-in-law came over on New Year's Day, and she parked right on my lawn. There's two ruts, and it just makes it muddy. It makes it dirty. The kids go out and just to check the mail, and they come out, and their sneakers have that layer of mud just by walking around. So it is with the Christian. Just by walking around the world, you know what? We need to clean ourselves. Hey, Joshua is demanding. He's calling out by the word of the Lord. Sanctify yourself. Purify yourself. Make yourself holy. Why? Because God wants to use you. He has a job for you. He has a purpose for you. It's my responsibility to cleanse myself. When the children were little, we used to bathe them. Put them in the tub. They loved it. It's like swimming. They bring their toys in. We would put them in there, and they would honestly sit in there until the water got lukewarm, and then their fingers were prunes, and then we would wash them. That is no longer the case. We send them into the shower and they're responsible for cleansing themselves. And we like it that way. That's how we want it. Hey, Christian, there was a time where someone maybe walked you through and helped you with some things and got you going and got you cleaned up a little bit and showed you from the Word of God. But it is now our responsibility to sanctify ourselves. Clean up. Why? Because God has a purpose for you. Exodus, Leviticus chapter 20. I have 4 points this morning. One, two, three. Say, what number was that? That wasn't even a point. That was introduction. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. Say, I don't hear much about sanctification. Is it really in the Bible? You must have missed it because it's all over. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Therefore, and be holy. See, when you cleanse yourself, you know what happens? You get holy. You get clean. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. And God says, I want you to be holy. Do you know why? Because I am holy. And that's what I deal with. I demand holiness. I call upon godliness. Roger's teaching a class in our young adults for the next 4 weeks about the holiness of God and our personal responsibility towards holiness. God desires it from us. He says, sanctify yourself. Why? Because then you will be holy. So, I don't know. That's Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, as parents nudge their children. Listen, this one's for you. As obedient children of God. You understand that? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You see the word that's used there? Fashioning. Fashion. Well, are we familiar with that term? Right? We like to be in fashion. I have some suits that have pleats in them. Say, yeah, what's the problem with pleats? They tell me that they're not fashionable anymore. I'm not really in a position to always keep up with fashion. Nor do I care as much. I mean, I want to look nice. I don't want to look like, polyester suits and platform shoes. I'm not going there, but it's not that big of a deal. And the Bible tells us that we should be fashioning ourselves. Do you understand the word here? Fashioning, putting on an attire. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. Hey, why? Because He wants us sanctified. He wants us clean. That we as a child of God ought not to be fashioned or look like the old man. Because we ought to be sanctified, clean, pure, holy. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. We know that the word conversation is not just in our words. Our whole action, our being, is our conversation. Again, I prove what I believe, not by what I say, but what I do. That is my conversation. My actions, as we've heard it said so many times, actions speak what? Louder than words. So if we are walking in holiness, you know what that means? That I actually believe those things. Now it's not telling me to be holy as the holiness of God, for God is completely absent from that which is evil. But there ought to be an attention given to cleanness and holiness, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy," he says. Sanctify yourself. Number one, point number one, God is calling. He's calling us to be holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I can't tell you how many times I have a young person, high school, college age, thereafter that, asking me what the will of God is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." You know what God's will is? Is that you be clean. That you be holy and available for His use. At our house, the children have gotten to the place where they can make themselves lunch. And that's a blessing. Kind of. Hudson's favorite lunch is, his favorite sandwich is ham, cheese, and mayo. That's what he likes. "Son, can I make you a sandwich?" "Yes. What would you like?" "Ham, cheese, and mayo." Well, he's getting to the point where he can try and do it himself. So there he goes. Gets the bread out, whole wheat bread, ham, puts the ham on, more cheese than he should, and then... Then here comes the mayonnaise, right? Sticks the butter knife inside the mayonnaise and mayonnaises it up, and then puts the knife pretty much on the counter. So me, or Sarah being the responsible ones, come by and, "Hudson, you left all your stuff out," and not being good trainers, just doing it. We don't call them in and say, "Do it." I just put it away. I know that's not right. And I grab the knife. To which I ask myself the question, which end did he use? Because there's equal amount of mayonnaise on the handle as is on the spreading end. Yuck. It's disgusting. It's gross. So it is when the Lord comes and grabs us and we're not clean. Can't use that. Can't use that. The will of God for your life is that you be clean. Say, "Will God use me?" It makes us available. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." He's saying there ought to be a different action between the lost and the saved. He says it. "That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." He wants us to sanctify ourselves. Why? Because He wants us clean. It makes us available. God is calling for you to be clean. God loves me just the way I am. Then why did He say He didn't call you unto uncleanness? He loves me. I can come in just as I am. Sure you can. Absolutely. And get clean. Get clean before the Lord. Say, "You want me to look like you?" No, I want you to look like Jesus Christ. I want you to take the scriptures and put off the old man and put on the new man. Say, "What do you get out of it?" "I get nothing." It's for you. Sanctify yourself. God is calling you to do that. That you would be responsible for your sanctification, that you would be a vessel in sanctification and honor. It is what is expected of you. It is your job. It is your responsibility. If you walked in to work tomorrow and neglected your responsibility, it wouldn't be too long before you found yourself sitting in front of a supervisor, the owner, the boss. What's going on? Your job is not getting done. Say, oh, the Lord has given me such a hard time. Why? Because you're not doing your job. You have a responsibility to sanctify yourself. God is calling for it. Christ is the source of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Point number 1. Well, the message is called sanctify yourself. Point number 1, God is calling. Number 2, Christ is the source. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, how? In Christ Jesus. I've been set aside. I've been cleansed. I've been purified. I've been given the opportunity to be made holy in Christ. So many people try to cleanse their soul without Christ. We talked about it in our young adults class because we were talking about, talked about it in our Sunday school class because we talked about salvation. So many people try to be saved by doing something. Well, if I'm just good enough, if I do enough, the problem is that we don't see our sin as a scale, but we see it as a balance. And if I do enough good, it outweighs the bad. And therefore, I get in. No, that's not what it says. Christ sanctified us through His blood, given us the opportunity to be holy and clean. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Here, let's read that again. Is made unto us. A direct benefit to us in wisdom and in righteousness and what? Sanctification and redemption. My sanctification is rooted in Christ, not in me. Certainly, as I follow Christ, it wouldn't be bad for someone to follow that person, right? Just as long as we're leading them to Christ. But the source of our sanctification and cleansing isn't what Pastor Russo or your mom or dad. What does God say about it? What does He desire of you? There's a possibility that you might have a misconception of what it is that God wants from you. That wouldn't be surprising, would it? If reading in the Scriptures, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I've been doing this wrong. God says here I should be like this. Are we willing to cleanse ourselves and get right with Him? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, same book, a few chapters over. Look at chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. How? In the name of our Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. There's certain things when we get saved that are just obvious that have to go. And then we grow in the Lord. And then He starts touching the real hard things. He starts getting to the sins, not of the flesh, but of the heart. Oh, I'm telling you, those are the hardest things to undo. Bitterness, anger, jealousy, lust. Why? Because I could put out a cigarette. I can dump a bottle of liquor down. I can do all of those things. Those are sins of the flesh. But of the heart, those follow me everywhere I go. Those are the filter by which I do everything. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to cleanse us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And He is the source of our cleansing. At our house, we have different kinds of soaps. And depending on the level of dirt, depends on the soap. So if you're just trying to, you know, I touched like syrup or something like that, I'll go to the, say, why syrup? I did that this morning. I had that fresh in my head. Got sticky on my, so just going to the bathroom, use a bar soap. Easy, you know, it smells nice, like, you know, I don't know, lavender or whatever. But if you get grease on your hands, we use the Palmolive because that's a degreaser. Now, if I do work on my vehicle, then I go downstairs in the basement. I got the soap with the rocks in it. And that's deep cleansing. Hey, where are you at this morning? Do you need cleansing of the soul? Do you need some things gone out of the flesh? Christ is the source of it. He's the one that can cleanse us. First Samuel chapter 16. Point number 3. It's not even noon. Isn't that great? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Saul's gone bad. And Samuel is about to appoint a new king. How long wilt thou mourn Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. I want you to read these next couple verses, that last verse, thinking about sanctification now. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. So God had a purpose and a plan. But something had to happen before that. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come, look, to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. What was happening here? Samuel was coming to anoint David, king of Israel. And he says, before we can get to that place, before a man could be used in the hand of God, something had to happen. Sanctification. How did it happen? Sacrifice. Something had to change. Something had to go. Something had to die. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it, just like with David, something has to die. Something has to be sacrificed for sanctification to take place. Something has to change. We have remote controls at our house, like remote control cars, and Hudson's just taken to this one car. He drives it all over our house. I mean, he tries to get as far away from the car as possible and still control it. I think he thinks he's tricking us, like, oh, where did this car come from? How is it driving by itself? You know, that's how he thinks. because he drives it by and then he'll peek out. He's controlling it. Who's in control of you? What controls you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. What needs to die? What needs to be sacrificed? What needs to go that sanctification can take place? Who controls you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. You know what that means? I can do whatever I want. I can. I have liberty. I am allowed to. But all things are not expedient. You know what that means? That it's not always the best decision. I can participate in anything I want. But let me ask the question to myself, because I'm responsible for me. Is this an act of sanctification? Am I cleaner after this than I was before? Who's in control? Who's driving the car? The little plastic figure that sits in that car is not in control. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but look, I will not be brought under the power of any. What has control of your life? Say, I do. I come and go. Wrong. Shouldn't be. God ought to have control of our life. It ought to be Him that dictates where and how we ought to go. We ought to be tender to the tender voice of God as He leads us and guides us. That still small voice that so many times we get so far away from we can't even hear. I worry about so many of your young people that just don't know what to do with their life. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where to go. Who's in control? Are you really saying that you want God to lead you and guide you? Or are you saying, I want to feel the peace of God in doing whatever it is that I want to do? Because there's a difference. One is a sanctified vessel of God in the hand of God, clean and being used for a purpose. The other one's miserable. Wandering. Without direction and without purpose. Who's in control? Say, I'm in control. I can stop anytime I want. Prove it. Prove it to yourself. Stop right now. Has your flesh convinced you that you're in charge? Do you understand that if even you are in charge, the wrong person's in charge? We say, well, my sin's not in charge. I'm in charge of my sin. Still not the right answer. God needs to be in charge of us. Who's in control? Sacrifice was required. Are you a servant of the flesh? Sanctify yourself, it said. Point number one, God is calling. Point number two, Christ is the source. Number three, sacrifice is required. There used to be a time when TV was just so prominent and we would spend hours in front of television. Not so much anymore. Network TV is gone. Maybe you watch some sports or something like that. But there's still things that distract us from the things of God. Maybe you're carrying it in your pocket. Is there anything in your life that you're under its control? And if you wonder, stop. Test it. There ought to be only one thing that I'm under control of, and that's God. Does God have complete control of you? And if the answer is no, is it because you're that That butter knife filled with mayonnaise. I don't want to touch that. That's dirty. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 3. And we'll conclude our message. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself. We've extensively talked about what that means. But there was a purpose. There was a reason that he said it. There's a reason that God wants you to be clean. He just wants me to miss out on fun. He wants me to be miserable. He wants me to suffer. No. No, actually not. It tells us why. Sanctify yourself. Why? For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Clean up today, because God has something great tomorrow. We're so short-sighted that unless we can see the direct benefit right now, we're not changing. Unless I see something change in my life, a direct benefit, hey, I tithed, and then we open up our ESL app, did God dump $1 million in? Nope. I'm out. Not doing that again. Hey, sanctify yourself today, because tomorrow, He's got something for you. Say, what is it? I don't know. But that's how He works. He's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. The purposes of God await. Say, there's no point in getting clean. There's every reason to get clean. Because there's victories in faith to be had. There's victories over sin to be had. There's reconciliation that can be made. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, he made us, he uses this wording, and he says that we are vessels. This is a vessel. It holds something. He wants to fill us with Him. That we are a vessel sanctified and for His honor. But I have to be completely depleted of myself for that to happen. If I were to fill this with Kool-Aid, leaving this candle in here, I could say that it's full, but it's not full of Kool-Aid. It's got two things in there. And so many times in our life, we have some of what God wants from us, but truly we are sitting on the throne of our heart, dictating and controlling how things go. And we are not full of the Holy Spirit of God, because we're still in there. And we're still controlling things. And we're still dictating how things should go, instead of being sanctified for holy use. Hey, can I ask that you would consider tomorrow in this? Say, how long is tomorrow? Well, it might be 12 hours. Or it might be 12 years. But God has a plan. And we stay clean and we get clean, not even for today. Faith is required, because it's in something I cannot see. Last verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God, what? From the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Why? Because tomorrow needs to be considered. I sanctify myself that tomorrow I might do good service by God. In the hand of God. This is the will of God. Doing it from the heart. Not to make people around me happy, but to please the Lord Himself. Why do I take the time of cleansing myself? Getting right before the Lord. Why? Because God has a plan for you. I know it sounds silly and it sounds dumb, but don't be the butter knife with mayonnaise all over it. Clean up. Why? Because tomorrow He's going to go in the drawer and He's going to look to grab somebody. He's got a plan for you tomorrow. So stay right today. Can I tell you, many of the victories that happen on Sunday morning aren't won on Sunday morning? It's because of what happened yesterday. And many of the struggles of Sunday are because of what happened yesterday. So I need to get to church to get... Hey, why don't you try and get clean before? Because then He might direct you in a way today. If we keep putting off the tomorrow, hey, sanctify yourself today. Why? Because tomorrow He's got something for you. Well, I didn't do it. Okay, well, sanctify yourself today. Why? Because tomorrow He has something for you. And maybe something didn't happen today because of what happened yesterday. So I can't control that. No, but you can control tomorrow. So get clean today. God is calling for it. Christ is the source of it. Sacrifice will be required. Say, I don't want to part with. You've got to part with it. Because tomorrow is considered. Let's all stand. In a moment, the music will play. Whatever it is that the Lord talked to you about. I'm not trying to get a response at the altar, but can I say there shouldn't be a person where sanctification doesn't touch.